Well, thank you all for coming, actually. It's really nice because I feel like it's a bit of a reunion, and I see a lot of friends, so it's very appropriate because I prepared a very informal presentation. I wanted to talk in this presentation specifically about the role of Arabic writing and the role of Arabic typography and the design of Arabic typography and how it has a cultural significance. So it's not always about creating new fonts, but it's about creating bridges between cultures. And that aspect of the work of what we do in the Khat Foundation is what I'm going to focus on. We do all sorts of other things, so I'm going to go through the beginning of the presentation, just roughly what we do, what is the Khat Foundation. I will just not introduce myself unless you can ask me later if you want to ask me specific things about my background. The Khat Foundation was my idea of designing a platform that is non-profit and that we could use for creating the possibility of doing design collaboration and research on typography that was not motivated by any constraints. And so the idea was to have a platform where you could ask questions that you probably, if you are designing for a client, you may not have the luxury to do. So this was the initial idea behind it. And then, of course, when you start something, it takes a life of its own. So we first thought, well, let's make a platform, see where it goes. And then it became a really nice tool and a community. So if I want to, you know, simply summarize what we do projects specifically on looking at ways to create innovation in type design specifically for Arabic, and then looking at making Arabic a tool for having conversations with other cultures and also creating harmony with other scripts and other identities. We organize workshops, conferences, we do little exhibitions. So the projects tend to be a bit multifaceted. And one of the things that I was interested in particularly was to create a kind of proper longer-term documentation of these projects, because their value is very educational, but it's also the fact that they happen is very important. And so we used to, at the end of each project, make a publication and then try to find a publisher who was willing to publish it. And that was not always very easy because there is not a very big market for this, and it's so publishers have their own, you know, financial restrictions, so why would they publish a book they know they're not going to sell? So it was at some point easier to just say, well, you know what, forget about publishing houses. We just make our own publishing house and we just publish the books we want to publish. We know they don't make money, but we know they are very important to exist, and that is, you know, part of what a non-profit organization is. So it's a non-profit organization and it has a publishing arm that is also non-profit. So why not? So this is a bit what the platform looks like. The idea of it was that it's also an online community for graphic designers and typographers and illustrators from the Middle East or interested in the Middle East or working with the Arabic script. And what is beautiful about online communities is you put them out, and if there's a need for them, they grow, and if there isn't, they die. So this grows. So there's another proof and an encouragement to think, okay, we are on the right track. The community is much bigger than this, but very colorful, people from all over the world having conversations, sometimes just showing their work and sometimes just looking for information and building projects among each other. This was a conference we did also in the beginning of the Khat Foundation, and it was our first project was to actually make a conference where we brought calligraphers and graphic designers and type designers in the same conference, which also was never heard of at the time. You have these niche these niche fields of design that don't really talk to each other, although they're very interconnected. So this was one thing that we worked on. And then we had part of the conference, exhibitions, workshops, people from different cultures working together, talking to each other, criticizing each other's work, and so forth. This is another example of an exhibition that we were invited to take part of as a foundation. And it was an exhibition that was a recreation of an old exhibition, it was 100 years older exhibition, the first on Islamic art. And so we were invited, and it was the whole exhibition was built in such a way that they recreated the old exhibition, and then as a criticism of that, they put modern Arab art, and then they put contemporary Arab art. And so we were part of the contemporary Arab art, but we're not really doing art. So it was a very kind of challenging way to present the Khat Foundation and say, how do you present Arabic script outside of, you know, writing on the wall? So it was the idea of taking it out of the context of just writing and saying, well, how does this script, how is it applied to other aspects of design? And so it was a combination of four artists, four women designers, and each one of them I commissioned the project was to take the Arabic script and write whatever they want in the medium that they usually use. So it was more like an art piece, our one-off design piece, using the design language for non-design purpose. So there was, an installation, and the previous one was an installation where you have a script really literally written on the wall, and the fonts used in that script were fonts that were produced by the Khat Foundation in previous projects. Which I will talk about more in detail. But the floor has a carpet that was made of concrete, and then it was kind of cast. So the Arabic script was cast into the concrete. It was and the text was random Arabic words, so it was like concrete poetry, literally concrete carpet on a concrete poetry. Pun intended in this case. And it was done by the designer Nada Dibs, who really used the script to kind and used some of the proportions of the Japanese tatami carpet. So she used East and Far East, and it was a kind of expression of her background and her sensitivities. So another artist here, she's featuring in like an Egyptian mummy, Egyptian sculpture. She's in front of her own installation, where she also did a research on the Arabic script and took one letter, ligature, which is the Lam Alif, and the Lam Alif spells out La in Arabic, which means no. And so she had this installation says 1,000 times no. It was kind of a protest. But she collected all these letter forms from existing samples of calligraphy from all over the world, from different times, different cultures, different materials or support that they were written on, and recreated this kind of like floating letters, a floating wall of rejection of everything that goes wrong in the Arab world. So this is a bit what our website looks like. So it gives you an idea that we started it with the idea of publishing our own books on part of the research that we do, but also educational books on typography, other authors' books on specific typographers. And recently we put out a series of, sorry, so I'll just go through them. This is my first book, which I didn't publish. I mean, it was published by Saki Books. this is another book we did 13 years later, and was more specific for, you know, teaching beginners' guide for on type design, Arabic type design. But then with everything that you do, sometimes, you know, you make the work, and then especially with technology, 2 years later, like, all the software is irrelevant and all the problems. So you almost have to constantly do them, which is an interesting thing when you're publishing this time and age, because you can say I publish small editions because I know that, you know, after 500 copies, I sell them in 1 year if I'm lucky, and then I have to throw away the book and make a complete new version because all the information is changing. But having it in a book is important because even though the information is not valid, it still is a historical document. And what we lack in the Arab world is historical documentation and true factual historical documentation that is not, you know, for propaganda of this or that. So we have... So this is some examples of the pages inside of looking at, you know, the old scripts, what you can learn from them, the structure of them, how can you create, how can you use that structure and freely recreate Arabic. So these are some other examples. And our latest big project, actually, is to create a series of monographs on key important designers from the Middle East that worked in the beginning of the century. The heroes that we probably live with their work and are so accustomed to seeing it, but we don't put it into its own context and its own history. So we've published two books from that, but we are working on a longer series, and we're trying to find key figures from, it's almost the same period, but then from different Arab countries, to give this this overview of the connection between the different Arab countries, but also their differences and different issues. There's more connections than differences, but it's interesting by itself, too. Then I want to focus, so going back to cultural diplomacy, I think one aspect of the Khat Foundation is to really document the history, archive it, and kind of give beginning, you know, educational tools for people that teach in the Middle East, which was my case when I was teaching in the Middle East, but also for future authors, that they go back and they look at their own history and they kind of look at it in a critical way and write about it. The other aspect of the work that we do, which takes a big part of our time, is really to look at developments of the Arabic script and to use it as a way to address, on one hand, very practical needs, like we need more Arabic, good quality Arabic fonts. Simple. We also need fonts that work together, so they are matching with Latin fonts and with other languages, because we live in a world where we speak different languages and live in contexts where there's different cultures that come together. We need to look at whatever current issues in design are happening and put Arabic script in that context, because it should not be something that we look at as a historical thing. It is alive and we have to deal with it. We have to think about, you know, the idea of when you work in script, and Arabic is a very particular one, but I think every written script represents a culture. So when you start to work with that script, you're actually engaging with the culture or interfering with it or challenging some notions of it. So how do we bring these two cultures? Sometimes, I mean, the big two cultures that we deal with are the Western and the Arabic. And the Arab. And these cultures have had lots of long sort of love-hate relationships. Sometimes they were friends, sometimes they inspired each other, but often they also conflicted. And so, but in this time and age, we also have to work together. So this is one of our motivation. And then the idea of working together is important. So the first project we did, we called it matchmaking, typographic matchmaking, and then the name stuck to the continuation and became sort of a series. I invited five type designers to work, so five Dutch type designers to work with five young Arab designers, and to create Arabic fonts that worked with existing Latin fonts. The project was happening almost 10 years ago, and it was by itself that proposition was novel. It's been done before, but not in the same way. And it was interesting for both designers in the same team to look at each other's scripts and actually criticize and learn from each other. So we spent time, you know. I think the team spend more time together than we spend time as a group. But we still managed to, once a few times actually, to get together as a whole group and kind of present to each other what we were doing and to draw together.
Sorry.
This is my commercial break. I can like breathe while it's... So you see some of the designers, we were arguing, we were kind of also, the designers were trying to present what inspired them and how they worked with their partners. And the interesting thing about it is that they were working with people they've never worked with before, in a script they've never worked in before, and trying to find common ground between these scripts, trying to find traits where they can connect them together without like making Frankenstein pieces. And everyone had a different approach. That was the interesting part about the project. Is some people looked at the tool of the writing tool as a starting point. So if we have a common writing tool, we already create a common gesture or a common trace. That was one point of view. The other point of view was, let's work on looking at the time period. So what, when this was invented, was there something equivalent in the Arab script? So everyone had their own starting point, and then the results was... So if I bring you back, when you look at the Latin, you always think, well, they kind of look alike. But when you look at the Arabic, they're dramatically different, these scripts. And that says something about the richness of the Arabic writing system and the Arabic language, well, the Arabic writing system, that is not been, in my opinion, sufficiently explored in digital fonts. And so this was a kind of project that we did, and we kind of were happy with our... Okay, I'm not going to play this again. Come up. Skip? Okay. It was also interesting that... So at the end of the project, we did a book, and then the book came with a CD, and people could use the CD to in their own work. So all of a sudden, the fonts were used everywhere, and... They became very popular, but they also was kind of started a movement because people became aware that, okay, this could work. We would like to use this font, but we probably can do better. So other people tried to take the same process and do their own version of it. And so you start something that goes beyond your control. So you look at work that was done. For example, the previous example was for a magazine in Holland, and they used Arabic, but then they used an Arabic that kind of worked, that was Dutch Arabic in some ways. You look at this example for the Islamic Art Museum in Doha, and they used again these fonts for an exhibition on Dutch masters that they were showing in Doha. So it's the conversation of two cultures is important. It's not the only solution, obviously. I mean, people can use scripts for whatever reason they want. They can use it for children, they can use it for posters, they can use it in any which way they think it's relevant. And that is, I think, the power of creating a project like that. So when we had to present it in Holland, this project, we came up with this idea of taking a very typical Dutch department store and actually making an exhibition that is a kind of recreation of this department store where all the products are in Arabic. We try to kind of have T-shirts with pick-up Arabic lines, you know, fun things, and create products that were Arabic, but they were also could be Dutch. So it was, again, a conversation between bringing two cultures. And all of a sudden, you know, it was an interesting project because the department store was upset, and then it went to, you know, it went to the media, and then all of a sudden we got more attention that we wanted, and then the exhibition was so full. And the idea of it was that we didn't want to make an exhibition; we wanted to make a statement so people could come buy the exhibition and take it home. The idea was that you take Arabic home, and then it's closer; it kind of becomes part of your life, and then you do this friction between being a Dutch and a non-Dutch is kind of, you know, challenged. But what happened, we got so much attention that on the first day we had to say, you can't buy things. There's not enough products for everybody because you didn't think it was going to happen. So it was, and also the process of developing these products was a very interesting one because it was important to have Dutch designers and Arab designers working together and saying, well, what is, you know, how can you retranslate this Arabic product into a typically Dutch one? And then we had the competition. Eventually, the department store kind of got on board and started becoming, they got a lot of attention as well. And then they were very comfortable that we're not trying to recreate a department store and steal their brand. And funny enough, in the end of it, we did a symposium, and one of the designers, who is actually a friend of mine, but I didn't know that he designed, he had done the original brand of the department store, and I invited him to come and speak in our symposium, and he didn't show up. So I think he was afraid of getting in trouble with his own clients. Then the project, anyway, got a lot of attention. So we had funding from the Dutch government for it the first time, and it was, they gave me sort of leftover funding that they had. They had to get rid of, and so I had a little bit of money the first time. But it got so much because of the exhibition and the attention it got. And the exhibition was supposed to be for 2 months, and it lasted 6 months, and it became a sort of nice place for that. You know, people would have performances in Arabic, and I mean, it was really became a big thing, bigger than we had intended it. So the second time, it was easier to get funding. I got more funding than I ever will ever get again. So then it was very nice, but you had to come up with a new. You can't repeat the same experiment the same time, and having more funding allows you to think a bit more conceptually about, okay, I want to go beyond the basic need of, we need more funds, what can we do? And at the time it was, we were looking at, you know, I was inspired by all the building, I was still kind of living in, partly in Dubai, and I was inspired by this kind of building frenzy and this idea that every city is going to become completely built up and we're going to lose any kind of natural spaces. And then I thought, well, that doesn't mean that the cities have to become inhuman, so why not think about, you know, putting a bit, bringing back some very, very, very pre-Islamic old tradition of Arabic poetry, of putting, you know, text poetry in public space. So I was very fascinated by this idea, and I thought, okay, let's build this project around this concept. So typographic matchmaking became the sort of name for all our research projects on typography, and then we said, okay, typographic matchmaking in the city. And then the team became bigger. So it became five teams of three designers, one architect or product designer, one Arab, and one Dutch. And then we decided that also designing for public space and designing something sculptural, you could easily move away from calligraphy. So the restrictions became much wider. And then we decided also that we start to design the two scripts at the same time. So looking at the problem of what it means to design for public space. The inspiration could be very technical, but it can also be something very historical, like looking at, you know, Egyptian temples and the way they use script in a sculptural form on space. And even if you don't read it, you get the message. So we spent time together. I have like bits and pieces of film in between, so I will be quiet while it plays.
Together, but also their role in a society, then we have to come up with something completely new. The idea of having a conversation through design with another culture was very seducing. Inspiring in some ways, because it teaches you something. When you try to explain your own culture to someone else, it actually makes you understand yourself better. And I think typography itself is a very subtle representation of culture in general. It represents on one level the meaning of text, the visual aspect of it tells a whole story as well.
So the process, so this was the premise of the project, and the process was that We developed this idea of actually going to places and investigating and spending time looking at things and visually browsing. And what we could, when we could stay for a week, and in this case we had an old building where we could actually stay in the building and work and kind of use the building as a space, like an ongoing exhibition where visitors would come in, we would have discussions with them, they interact with the work. So it was more of, let's first stretch the research part before we actually start designing. Let's take pictures of everything around us. Let's be a bit kind of chaotic. Let's sketch and try to formulate ideas, conceptual ideas that could become later letters. So these are some of the experiments of, you know, even like experimenting with three-dimensional material. So not a way of drawing by hand, but actually building things first and then thinking, okay, if a typeface is just a line, when it's a bit extruded, what happens? And then when you extrude it further, it becomes a sculpture. And that is, in a way, the effect is more important than just reading.
We're talking about cities and about places where people from different cultures meet. Do we look at the physical aspect of the city and talk about, you know, how people redesign a space by bringing water into land and land into water? Or do we talk about this idea of people meeting and not really knowing each other very much, like you meet in a train station, you meet, but you don't really meet, and you don't change, or you change very little. So then the train station becomes this concept of meeting and not meeting, or this kind of confrontation of cultures becomes a concept that you reinterpret into a form where the form becomes related to screens and systems, and you know, so the whole process is not a type design process, which was very nice, but it's really like a conceptual art project that created letters, and from that we created sort of fonts. Writing a city, literally.
And so in the end, we come up with typefaces, five different fonts that match and in different ways. And some of them were, for example, this typeface was inspired by, you know, the old Abbasid Kufic scripts, but then in a contemporary proportions, contemporary aesthetic. And then in some ways, it was compared to scripts that were written in Amsterdam. They were called from the Amsterdam School, that were actually written as part of buildings. So they were engraved in buildings and constructed of metal. And so, and this monumentality, even though it wasn't intended from the beginning, there was a very kind of visual affinity between those two scripts. So these two designers decided to, as these were their starting points, and that's how they came to creating this font family. Others were working with something much more conceptual, of saying, well, you know, it's forms that can be applied to any different material, from glass to sculpture to screens to video screens. So the idea of modularity was more important. And then if you apply this geometry and this modularity, then of course you can bring many scripts together, because at the structural level of any script, there is geometry first. Another group worked on this idea of endless connectivity. So the Arabic script is always connected, and so they created a Latin script that is always connected. And so you can, in principle, write in both directions and make one continuous line and connect the Arabic, the Latin, and mix them up and turn them around and turn them around the object and so forth. Another group worked on this idea of structural gestural strokes, and so they made this kind of stencil font. So it's the idea that any script is made of lines that construct a letter, no matter what the script is. And so this was their starting point, and they experimented and tried to make it, you know, almost disappear. Another group worked on this idea of Arabic is always connected, and it's like one line. And if you take that concept that any writing is one line, so if you create a three-dimensional line or a line with a bit of a thickness, then you can write anything with it. And so they made their starting point this very sculptural spaghetti-like font. Oops, I'm going ahead of myself. So this was the result of that project, the typographic matchmaking in the city. And the comparison between the two projects is that the first one was very pragmatic, and it had a very specific goal and a very small one, and this one was much more experimental. And so the application were open. And the biggest result from this book, from this project, was a book actually documenting the process. So the process was, in a way, put forward ahead of the practicality of what we came up with, because it was important to let loose and to experiment and to see where you can take script and where you can take this conversation. That was more important than whether you end up, you know, changing the world. Although it's always very tempting to try and change the world. Actually next week, we will start the third edition of the typographic matchmaking. And this time we want to do it in Morocco. And this project is interesting for many reasons. One reason is that its main premise is actually political. I was in Morocco many years back and then only very recently. And recently I realized that actually all of a sudden you see that all the signage and all the official languages are actually in three different languages and three different scripts that absolutely have nothing to do with each other. Not because the scripts have nothing to do with each other, but also because the people that designed these signs didn't even care whether they actually had anything to do with each other. And then it was very interesting to think about the reason behind that, whether it was intentional to keep these cultures apart, or was it a sort of like missed a faux pas, a sort of not very diplomatic way of dealing with it? Is it an interesting thing to say, well, if three cultures come together in the same room, do they try to talk to each other, or should they each keep their own side of the room? And for me, these signs were more like we put them together in the same room because we think it's politically nice to do that, but we actually keep each one in its corner. And I thought, yeah, that would be very interesting to explore that possibility. The other premise of the project was that the Maghribi script has a certain wildness about it and a certain freedom. And the challenge would be to think of how do you take this writing, this very fluid and free writing, Arabic writing, and actually make a font out of that. So that's another challenge. How do you make that work with a type, with a script like the Tifinagh script, which is on the left side, that has been not really, that has jumped from being an inscription on stone directly into digital format. I mean, there was no printing, there's no printing history, there's no progress to the script. So it's almost like taking a very ancient script and then all of a sudden saying, well, now everybody has to learn to write it, and there are people that are writing it, and they are studying it, and they are looking at possibilities of creating a cursive version of it. So it's almost forced progress. So how do you put these scripts together? How do you add that to, on top of that, the Latin script that has had a very sort of smooth progression over a long period of time through different writings, through different cultures, through different technological advancements. So how do you bring these three together? And you have to bring these three together because they're going to end up together anyway. So why not make them work together? We have a big challenge. We have this time around a smaller team of three design teams of three designers each. One has two designers only. And the team is mixed again, and the mix is also different this time. There are no Dutch designers on the project. There's only North Africans and French, sort of half French. nominal French and Spanish, because we think that also the connection between the Maghrib and Spain is very important. So again, if we're going to bring a Latin script, why should it be Garamond and not some Spanish flavored script, which would make more sense? It would be closer to the connection in cultural way. So this is not the project, because we haven't started it. We start next week. This is some samples, bits and pieces of some of the designers' work they've done before. So it's where we're at so far. And with this, I think I want to end with this nice statement that I hope you can read, and I don't have to read it out loud. But I think that with this, I would like to say that, you know, and this and maybe open it for conversation, is the idea that we always underestimate the writing systems of cultures. I mean, the Arabic script is famed for being a sacred script, but any script starts as a sacred script. And what is interesting is it becomes more than just that. It becomes also a way to write a history of a whole culture. So we're all attached to our script because it tells us, it tells our story. It's part of our life. It's not just letters on a wall or on a screen or whatever. And thank you.